What if the most profound spiritual practice wasn't meditation, mindfulness, or monastery silence, but simply talking to God like you'd talk to your closest friend? This isn't about formal recitations or religious obligation. It's about discovering that the divine is less interested in your polished prayers than your honest voice. Throughout decades of teaching creativity, one truth has emerged repeatedly. Those who learn to have genuine conversations with the divine don't just create better art, they live fuller lives. The connection between spiritual openness and creative flow isn't coincidental. When we stop performing our prayers and start having real conversations, something shifts. The channel opens, ideas flow, life responds. But first, we must reimagine who or what we're actually talking to. We inherit God concepts without realizing it. The stern judge, distant watchmaker, or punishing deity. These inherited stories shape whether we pray and what we expect in return, but we can choose differently. Consider Eden Reimagined, a loving God who encourages exploration, who grieves when connection breaks but never stops reaching back. Barbara, a painter recovering from alcoholism, moved from avoiding God entirely to surrendering with, "Okay, God, you do it," and felt what she describes as a pink blanket of peace settle over her. Children naturally possess direct connection before formal religion complicates it. Victoria experienced prayer as immediate thought beams, simple exclamations like, "Oh God," or "Wow, God," while twirling under the night sky. No intermediary, no formula, no fear of doing it wrong. Reclaiming that childlike directness while developing mature understanding means accepting we're already accepted, precisely as we are. Prayer isn't reserved for crisis or cathedral. It's ongoing dialogue, washing dishes, waiting tables, or sitting in traffic. Miranda, a 20-year-old waitress, maintains constant conversation with the divine throughout her workday. For her, God serves primarily as listener, a companion preventing loneliness, offering gentle guidance, bringing visible peace, even amidst clattering dishes and demanding customers. The diversity of prayer practice reveals its universal reach. Scotty creates sacred space, praying for ease and joy while burning sage. Juliana maintains a constant flow of words, like meditation in motion. Others pray through photography, baking bread, or holding loved ones in their hearts during morning meditation. Nick, shaped by Catholic education, initially rejected formal prayer as facile, a way people absolved conscience without taking action. Life experience shifted his perspective to seeing prayer as energy focused for good and an act of humility requiring ego surrender. Prayer isn't magical thinking. It's about aligning ourselves with something larger while remaining fully engaged with life's unfolding mystery. Prayers of petition, requests for wants or needs, form the foundation of most prayer practices. Nothing is too large or small. We ask, then remain open to receiving. The answer might be yes, no, or not now, and we're invited to trust divine wisdom even when disappointed. The prayer, "This or something better," aligns personal will with a larger plan. Writing prayers can elicit direct responses that build faith. When Jeanette missed a call, the prayer, "Dear God, please let Jeanette be okay," brought reassurance. There is no cause for alarm. Praying to her deceased mother, she heard, "Jeanette is fine. She had an emergency to cope with." When Jeanette called later, she used those exact words, explaining she'd made an emergency house call for a friend with pneumonia. This precise mirror of language served as powerful validation. When asked why full trust felt so difficult, the response came, "Have compassion for yourself. Fear is human. And further prayer is the answer." Trusting divine guidance is a practice, not a destination. Prayer becomes paradox. By humbling ourselves, we're lifted up. Acknowledging our limitations and surrendering to higher power, we receive strength for situations that once baffled us. Like flowers blooming according to their nature, our gifts flourish when we stop forcing and start flowing. Gratitude reveals abundance everywhere, in people, nature, creative expression, synchronicity. The natural world provides immediate focus. every flower and tree reveals the great creator's handiwork. The great artist creates not just one kind of tree, but thousands, not one pink flower, but countless varieties. After getting sober, prayer deepened into reporting in to God with increasing candor, confessing grumpiness, expressing happiness about writing, asking help with mundane tasks. This habit continues decades later, allowing focus on beauty, full moon rising over mountains, silvery light washing the courtyard. Praying for mood change proves useful. Moods float in like clouds. With divine help, darkness can brighten. The grateful heart becomes soft, gentle, compassionate. We relate to others with grace as resentment melts. Gratitude makes love thy neighbor as thyself possible. Seeing the best in our lives helps us see the best in others. From ancient pyramids to modern skyscrapers, human constructions point us back to the Creator, revealing how our creative impulses have roots in divine inspiration. Synchronicity describes moments when inner and outer worlds align perfectly. After clarifying a wish, opportunities often appear immediately, like wanting to learn life drawing, then meeting a visual artist who offers you the last spot in their class. These moments require saying yes, though we sometimes dismiss them as too good to be true. Sometimes synchronicity feels like God showing off, the perfect couch appearing at a garage sale exactly when needed, watercolors on sale just when painting sounds enticing. This teaching's foundation: if the force driving a flower through earth can work as higher power, and that same force drives creativity, its power cannot be denied. When newly sober and worried creativity would vanish without alcohol, the advice came: creativity and spirituality go hand in glove. A sign went up: okay, God, you take care of the quality, I'll take care of the quantity. Writing became service rather than ego-driven striving. The work became clearer, more accessible, and the career flourished. Creative blocking is fundamentally an issue of faith, worrying about running out of ideas, that work isn't good enough, that past success can't be repeated. These fears stem from lack of dependence on God, who has unlimited ideas, resources, and help. No moment is too large or small to ask for divine help. The more we talk to God, the more we hear from God. Actor James Dybas, with 42 years on a spiritual path, begins each day with, "Good morning, God, it's me, James," followed by formal prayers, gratitude, and prayers for health. He asks powerfully, "Prayer is so powerful, why go without it?" Prayers for each other bind us together across time and distance. When Laura prays for writing or teaching, calm strength fills her heart. Whether prayers affect external circumstances or bring internal calm doesn't matter. The peace they provide transforms our experience. The despairing one denies God, clinging to skepticism while refusing hope. They focus on bad while expecting worse, pridefully calling their stance realism. Hope is despair's flip side. When alert to God's bounty, we're brought naturally from despair to hope, from scarcity to abundance. The divine wants conversation, not performance. Your prayers don't need polish, they need honesty. Start today. Talk to God like you'd talk to someone who loves you completely, because on the other side of that conversation is the discovery that you were never alone, never without support, never beyond the reach of that loving presence listening all along.